says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 18. We're going to go back there again today for a final message. And we're talking about transformation today. And I know it's been a three-part series, and some people say, well, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Three parts just to get transformation. Well, it's not hard, but I think there are things we need to know. Let me kind of just the steps that we're talking about. Number one is this: you know, you have to admit or confess, right? It's Easter Sunday, we confessed that we have an area, and here's what: if you're visiting for the first time, what we said was this: if there's an area in your life that you're not experiencing abundant life, then you need transformation. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in attitude. Maybe, you know, you could, if you're constantly blowing your lid, how many knows that's a problem? You need transformation. And you'll never get transformation if you're a lid blower and say, well, if those people leave me alone, well, they're not going to. How many knows until you cross over like my sister-in-law did last night, people are not going to leave you alone. In fact, here's the clue. Phone's ringing, so go ahead and answer it this morning. Get a clue here. I think sometimes God sends us people to push our buttons. Yeah, sometimes He just sends us people to push our button. Now, sometimes He really sends people to push it. Remember when Job, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the world. So you better hope He never sends anybody to push your button like Job's buttons were pushed. But He just sent to test us. And then I think He gives us aggravating people so we'll pray. How many knows you're just prone to pray when things are not just right? When everything's going well, that's, you know, we pray, but sometimes it's not with the same fervency, is it? It's when there's something. Last night as we sat at the hospital, Jana's brother said, you know, this really puts life in perspective in what's really important. And then his bride of 30-something years passed away and crossed over into eternity. And so I'm sure this morning, more than even last night, as he woke up without, you know, and used to having coffee and breakfast with his bride for 30-something years, this morning the house is empty, and I'm sure the reality hit home and set in, as some of you have experienced in your relationships. So we have to just realize that life is not going to leave us alone, but we still should experience abundant life in every area of our life. And you can't do that if you have excuses, if you start blaming people, if you get in a victim mentality, poor me. You'll never be able to experience abundant life because that's not how God works. And so let's look at it. So the first thing we talked about was, number one, confess. I need abundant life, and ask God into this situation. Step number two, believe by faith. Remember last week, by faith. We're going to change. Change will happen as we take a proactive step. We do something. How many knows we can't just pray and expect God to do everything? We're partners in this with Christ, and so we have a part to do. Remember when Christ went to the cross and He said, Lord, help me, and He could feel the situation coming, and it grew near. And He had preached it all these years to His disciples, but when he was on the brink of it, He could feel the pressure. And imagine taking the sins of the world on your shoulders. And then, not only that, and I don't think that was the breaking point. The breaking point when He fought for the first time in history, I'll be separated from my Father because of sin that I'll take in my person. And so He began to pray in earnest and agony. And all of a sudden, God said, no, this cup will not pass. And He said, then it is enough. It's enough. So He went ahead and said that the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. See, there's still abundance in there. He was struggling in the agony, but He knew the end result, as He followed Christ, was still going to be joy and fruit. If there's an area in your life, maybe whatever it might be, that's less than joyful. You know, somebody mentioned bills and your shoulders just start cringing. You know, probably beginning transformation because you've not yet submitted to spending less than you make. You know, life is pretty easy, isn't it? You want to be debt free, and you want to be where you don't have financial struggles. That's a simple law. Spend less than you make. You want to be healthy? Burn more calories than you take in. Can anyone not understand that? And leave off the yeah buts. How many knows those yeah buts will kill you? Yeah, but you know. Just leave those for some other butt or something. Can I say that? I just did then. Let's look at the scripture before I get in trouble. Then we'll talk about point number three. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us, everybody say, that's me. Unto us who are being saved, it's the power of God. This message is the power of God to all of us who are being saved. And he said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Everybody say, I believe. It says, for the Jew requests a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, that's us, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so there's power that we have access to. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that first before we get into honest, what I call honest prayer that I think will transform our life. So point number one, confess it. Number two, believe it. Take proactive faith. Step number three, keep this matter in honest, consistent prayer and as you partner with the Holy Spirit. How many knows it's really important to partner with the Holy Spirit? And I'll talk to you about doing that here in just a minute with your prayer life. But it's really important that we partner with the Holy Spirit because there's power. Let me say this about the Holy Spirit. In John 16:7, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to go a little quicker because I got lots to say here this morning, but I want to get it all in. But John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the King James says, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, and let me ask you a simple question. Did Jesus depart? Where did he go? He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? So he said, if I depart, that's the only stipulation he put on the Holy Spirit coming. He said, if I depart, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to who? So the Holy Spirit's been sent to you, hasn't he? So you have access to the Holy Spirit. That's good news. How about if this morning, if I was a multi-billionaire and I said, I'm going to give you access to my account, how many would get happy? How many would want to know what that meant exactly? I could see everybody. Can I just spend a few minutes with you after service? After a statement like that. You know, I'm not and you can't, so get, you know. But if I did, and I said, you know, I've just got so much money, and God just told me to give you access to my account. Wouldn't that be exciting? You'd be thinking, wow, you know what I'm getting? See, and so God said, I'm going to give you access to the Holy Spirit, which is a lot more powerful than any billionaire's bank account. And you're going to have access. I'm not even going to give you access. I'm going to send him to you. So we have access to power. So we can't blame any kind of transformation being on lack of power because we've been given access and power to the Holy Spirit. Luke 12:12 says the Holy Spirit's a teacher. John 14:26. He says this. He says, but the Helper or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to do something. He said, he will teach you all things. How many knows if you need transformation in an area, you need knowledge, you need information, right? You need information. In fact, probably most of you in here is in specialized fields, and if I came to your place of employment or where you are, I probably couldn't do what you can do because you have information I don't have. Now, I could learn that probably. I was very amazed last night as one of our Jana's nephews said, there's two guys and it's the phone business in Chickasaw Nation phone business, I think is what it's called. And he's talking about one of the guys is retiring and they're over the host state and how competitive it is and how it would take 4 or 5 years to learn what he knows about phone stuff. And this one helper's retiring and I said, well, who's replacing? And you know, and this is a major company. They got a bunch of employees. And he said, well, nobody right now. And I said, there's not an urgency. See, something just didn't click. I've been around business long enough to know that if it's a major company and it takes that long, they're just, I think the boy's a little brick shorter too. I think it's information. So all I'm saying is he's a nice kid and does well in business, but that just doesn't add up to a sharp company that's been competitive in a global market with the phone companies. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny to hear him to say, you know, it's like you'd have to go and you could be a doctor by the time you become a phone man. You know, sales and service is what he's in. And so it was just kind of amusing to me. That's information. And so here's what we have. He said the Holy Spirit. How many knows the Holy Spirit knows this backwards and forwards? And he said, and in one place he said he'll bring this to your remembrance. That's why it's important for you and I to get into Scripture. Because part of his job, his calling, his job description from heaven is to give us to remembrance. How many knows the older you get, the more you need the Holy Spirit in that area? This is true. Sometimes I get so busy and I'll come into church and I'll think, what's the code now? You know? I go to the gym, I say, now what's my combination? It's like, and I wish I could do like computers. You know how you just spit some out? Steve said, you know, you got to clear that stuff out once in a while because it drags your speed down. I feel like I need to go somewhere and get all that. How many feel like you need to go get it cleared out? All that stuff that you don't need to remember is still there, but it's like it's packed in your little brain and you just can't get anything else in there that's good. It's like, help me, Jesus, help me. Well, that's part of the Holy Spirit's calling and job description is to bring things to your remembrance and to teach you all things. Everybody say all things. You know why he can teach you all things? Because he's an expert in every field. He's like the manufacturer that made you. And if you have a toaster or a car or something, you send it back to the people that made it. He made us. And so he can fix you. But here's what we have to do. We have to yield ourselves to him and partner with him. And because you can have all the right information you want. How many knows? Most Christians, we have a lot more information than we walk in already. Oh, yeah. That'd been a good place to just shout and say, woo, great treasure. But that's one of those places, isn't it? All right. So, now, he said this, too. He's going to teach you. He's give you access. Then he said he's going to be your teacher. He said he'll teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance. All things that I said to you. So he's going to help you in information, and he's going to help you bringing things, that information back to you. Have you ever been witnessing to someone, and all of a sudden the Scripture came to you, and you was able to give it? Or if you had a question, a tough question, somebody's asking about life, and boom, you had a great answer, and you knew it was just above you, and what you really would come up with. That's the Holy Spirit bringing that stuff to you and helping you. And that's what he'll do. That's what he does if you partner with him. And we'll be honest. Acts 1:8 says he'll do this. He says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. 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 Not weakness. You shall receive excuses. You shall receive, you know what? No, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be a witness. You shall be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. How many knows a witness? This was told to me in our master's class just a few weeks ago, and I thought this is a great statement. It said the professor was talking about the difference between witnessing and evangelism. He said when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he'll give you a power to be a witness, not an evangelist. See, everybody's not called to be an evangelist. That's what some people think. But we're all called to be a witness. And in then he gave the difference. This is a powerful thing that for me, personally. He said, here's what the Holy Spirit will come upon you to be a witness, and here's the difference between a witness and an evangelist. A witness says, this is what God, by His glory and grace, has done for me. That's a witness. An evangelist is somebody that tells you what God can do for you. See the difference? And I thought, that's a neat distinction, isn't it? Like Billy Graham, he gets up and he tells a 3-point sermon of what God can do for them, and then they just come. Because he's anointed. He is anointed evangelism. I mean, he's Mr. Evangelist. I always said Billy Graham could preach on the value of a doorknob, and people would just come forward. Now, if you believe in the value of a door, just come on down. And just, I believe. He's just anointed. He's anointed to you know, that he's got that in this. Because I've watched him, and I thought, well, how is he so profound? And because it's a simple sermon. Well, it's simple, but he's anointed. He's in his niche. Okay? And so he says he'll give you power. He'll give you information. He'll give you access to what you need. So really, we are a people without excuse, aren't we? When we're not receiving victory in an area, we are a people without excuse. Because we've got access to the Holy Spirit. We've got access to the information we need. We've got access to the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, we should all have a powerful witness. How many of you go to, how many, if it's debt and it's finances you're struggling with, how many would go to somebody that was broke for information? I mean, you're struggling and you see your neighbor and they're just barely getting by and just scrounging to make it. How many would go and say, how can I get set free in this area? How many, you wouldn't go to their house, would you? Now, you might go get them and say, come on, we need help, Bubba. You know, and you might take them with you, but you wouldn't go over and ask for advice, would you? I wouldn't. See, that's not a witness. They're not a witness in that area. And I'm not talking, I'm not saying poor is, you know, sinful or anything, but I just don't think God, how many knows if you're poor, it's hard to support the kingdom of God and give where you want to give. I just don't think God called His Christians to be poor. I think He called us to have more than enough. How many knows when they came out of the wilderness, out of Egypt and was in the wilderness, that was a land of just enough. They were in disobedience, weren't they? And so every day, there was just enough. Didn't matter if they went out and gathered 2 or 3 buckets more, the next day it would just spoil, because he said, just you're in the wilderness of just enough. And that's where I see some Christians, you just want to stay right there in the wilderness between over here to the promised land. You come out of Egypt, salvation, but you're camped right here and don't want to go on over to the promised land where there's blessing. And I'm not sure why. Part of it is because we won't be transformed in all of our areas, and we carry little pockets of darkness and failure in our life, and because we quit addressing it after a while because we're not seeing results. But how many knows what? The fruit of the Spirit makes things in our life measurable. You know, if you're struggling with your money, that's pretty measurable as well, isn't it? It'll show up on your charts, on your records. It'll show up. It'll just come. So, but to have power to be a witness, you've got to have victory in that area, or you're not a witness. You know, your kids that go to college, you can be a witness at college, or you can be a bad example at college. You know, you can be both. People that stand up for righteousness, and God blesses them, and people look at their life, they're a witness. You don't even have to say anything. You're just a witness for Christ. A witness for the Lord. Dave Ramsey, how many knows Dave Ramsey? We talked about him last week. His testimony is this. Years ago, he went into real estate, way overextended himself, and he was broke and went bankrupt and was broke. And here's what he did. He started partnering with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's how you partner with the Holy Spirit, by the way, is you partner with God's Word. And when He says do this, you do it. And don't do it, you don't do it. That's partnering with the Holy Ghost. He can, because you're being honest and He can help you. And so Dave finally started partnering with the Lord and got some biblical principles about finances and began to restore his life. And now he is a powerful witness in the area of finances. See, that's a witness. As transformation has taken place, that's the power of God that he took, and the Word of God as he partnered with the Holy Spirit, and now he's a witness. In fact, about 2 winters ago, not this winter, but last winter, Dave came to town out at First Southern, and there was about this much snow on the ground. And guess how many people came? We filled the building that day with 4 inches of snow on the ground. How many says, now that's a witness? That's a witness. Do you have the kind of witness that people would come when it's snowing? I really don't. When this snows around here, a lot of you don't come. I'm working on it. But you're just more scared about snow than you are impressed about my preaching, I guess. Maybe some of you are just more concerned about your life. I don't know. You're saying, if you had to ride with my husband, you wouldn't come either, Pastor. God bless you. So, we're talking about being set free. Now, if you really want transformation, here's the key. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's a gentleman. He's not going to override your will. How many knows you do have a free will today? So, in your free will, this is what you can do. You take responsibility. If something's wrong in your life, take responsibility. I'm getting ready to tell you the hard part, so get ready, okay? Luke 11:13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Ask. 11:13 of Luke. You've got to ask Him. Now here's why we don't ask the Holy Spirit to come in areas that we've been struggling in for a long time. Because we really don't want transformation. And I know what some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I do. Here's what I know. If you really did. Now, let me make an exception. If you have some kind of terminal disease or sickness, it's something physical, you don't have power over that. We have power in two respects. One of the things we have is putting the wrong things in our body. I love Coca-Cola. Well, if I got Coke and Jesus in the day, I'm good. It's a bad habit that I have. But what I have tried to do is I'll have the little bottles, you know, they're 12 ounces or whatever, the little short bottles, and that's my ration for the day, and I try to keep to that. And here's my prayer, Lord, please don't take that little bottle away. I'm down to my last little bottle. It's like a whiny prayer. Let me pray whiny prayers. Oh, Lord, please don't make me, you know. But I just like it, you know, and I know it's, you know, I'd have health classes and they'd say, you know, you should stop all that stuff. And then you all go to Diet Coke. I get tickled when I see guys and girls give them a big Diet Coke and a candy bar. My wife says, well, you got to offset one with the other, you know. But we're a lot like that in our daily walk, in our life, in areas. We don't get honest. And so if it's a sickness, what we put in our body, that's one thing we can do to help it. Another thing we can do is pray the prayer of faith. Now, here's what we have to be careful of, the prayer of faith, and that is this. When we pray the prayer of faith, we laid hands. When I went into the ICU yesterday, and they let us come in and take turns and said, we brought her out, but you can only stay just a few seconds, a minute or two at the most each, because there's stress on her. And I wasn't even going to go in, because I thought, you know, this is my sister-in-law, and just give them respect and let them have the time, and I was outside just praying. But I, you know, one of the sister-in-laws looked at me and said, would you go in and pray? And I looked at Jan and I said, you know, that's her family. And I'm trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what edifies the family. And Jan said, you need to go in and pray, honey. So I went in and I laid my hand on her head and I said, Father, and I was holding on to her husband's hand. I said, in the name of Jesus, we'd ask that she would heal her body and spare her life. And we just ask it in the name of Jesus and give favor and comfort and peace and bless the family and comfort them right now. Just a simple little prayer. So was that wrong? No, that wasn't wrong to ask. He said ask, didn't he? When you pray, ask. But here's what we need to learn as Christians. As men and women of God, we have a part and God has a part. And so I asked with all the faith I had. They were praying with all the faith they had. But you know what? The answer yesterday was no. And the people that were suffering is not her. In fact, I just almost saw a vision of her walking into heaven and throwing off those robes of sickness and being in a glorified body. And I have a brother-in-law and a cousin. We married sisters, us cousins married sisters. And we were good buddies. And he died a few years ago. And I could just see her going in. I was jealous for a moment as she walked in and just embraced him and said, "How are you doing? Welcome to heaven." Now, for you that are in that boat, that's the exception. There are some things that we have no power over, except through what we take in and the prayer of faith. And never discount those two. Those are powerful tools. But we have to learn that just like Jesus learned in the garden, that when sometimes when we say, "God, I know that with you all things are possible," Jesus said, and he fell on his face and he prayed in earnest and agony, and he got up and no one would pray with him, but he didn't get an attitude about those that didn't pray, did he? He just kept praying and believing. By the way, you don't have to get an attitude if nobody believes the way you do. If God's laid it on your heart, pray it, and it's sound biblically, just pray it anyway. See, everybody in the room could have prayed yesterday, "Well, she's not going to live, and she, you know, it's just too bad and stuff." But, you know, you don't have to have the world agreeing with you, because God's Word already agrees with you. You got the power of the Holy Spirit, and so pray it. But then when it comes down to the answers, leave those answers to God. Trust. It's called trust, isn't it? I trust you. When Job was stripped of everything, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's faith. Faith is not getting everything you prayed for. Where do you get that in the Bible? That's spoil. That's what that is. Everybody would be a Christian just because of the benefits. Just rub your Jesus lamp and poof, out comes the blessing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. But he said this about transgressors: the way of the transgressor is hard. We got trials, but God's going to deliver us out of them all. But the transgressor is just hard. He's got no promise. So what's the blessing? Live over here, because your payday's coming. Her payday, Jimmy's payday came yesterday, April 5th of 2008, when she crossed from here over into eternity, and everything that was on wrong with her had to be just, it fell to the side, and she marched into the kingdom of God and said, "Papa, I'm home." Now, we'll leave people here. She left people here and grandkids and husbands, and they're hurting, but God will give them power to heal. That was hard. It's the daughter yesterday, when they got the body prepared and said, "You can go back and view the body." And I noticed she was lagging back, the daughter. She was lagging back and went farther back in the crowd of relatives as we were marching back to ICU. And one of her other little cousins was standing there, and she said, "I don't think I can go in." And I said, "That's okay. She's not here. It won't offend her. It's nothing wrong. If you don't want to go in, that's perfectly fine." Because see, everybody else was going in. And that's what you can say when people are hurting. It's just let them know that there's no way, right way or wrong way of trying to express yourself when you lose a loved one. Let them be who they are and just support them and be there for them. That's the power of God. You know, I've seen people say, "Well, they'll regret this and they'll regret..." Well, pray for them. But just be careful. That's a God thing. That's outside the bounds of what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking to you about is our daily practices and our daily power and our daily walk and our daily witness, that we can be light. We can be light for Jesus wherever we are, and that we can be transformed in any area. But listen to me, and here's the hard part. You've got to begin to pray honest prayers. 1 Peter 3 says this, for all of us married couples, all of us old people, I'll look back here, y'all. All of us people that's been married for a long time. He says this, is a great example. He said, you know what, if women, if you don't submit to your husbands, husbands, if you don't honor that wife that you took, it will hinder your prayers. Now, you don't have to submit, ladies. I know he's not worth submitting to, but you picked him. Remember when you prayed, oh God, can I have him, can I have him, can I have him? He said, well, if you really want him. And then, and remember your second prayer, what do I do with him, Lord? What do I do with him? Remember that one? Then remember the third prayer, can you take him back? Can you take him back? No, you didn't pray that, did you? Let me show you something here. 1 Peter 3, he says, here's the thing. Guys, you better honor her. He never gave us permission to slam our wives. He said, because if you don't honor her, he didn't say if you feel like it, guys. He didn't even say if she's deserving, you honor her. He said, if you don't honor her, your prayers will be hindered. In other words, you won't pray. You know what that word hinders means? It means to extend. It means to cut out. And then it says, figuratively, it means to frustrate. So your prayers will be cut out altogether, and you won't pray over that anymore if you got this broken relationship. Or you'll be frustrating prayers when you pray if you don't honor her. Boy, now that's grace. Not only this, but just, come on, preach it, Pastor. Yeah, that's grace. Now, ladies, you don't have to submit, but it's going to hinder your prayers too. You're not excluded from that. You know, you might have preached all these years. Now, honey, if you don't honor me, it's going to hinder your prayers. Well, if you don't submit and quit saying things like that, it's going to hinder yours too. And they'll be frustrated, or they'll be cut out completely. Let me ask you this, and we can take this to any area of life you want to take it. Wherever your area is, let's say if you're like me and you just struggle with the old gut. You know, right now I'm in the lose weight mode. I get in the maintain mode when I hit my goal weight, and I fluctuate, and I put on my winter coat. So right now I've been trying to get back down. I'm almost there. I got up to 198, and I'm back down to 191. I'm going on down to 187, 85, somewhere in there. You know, that's 187, 189 is where I feel good and I want to stay. But I thought just for a little cushion and then if I want to eat an extra taco or something, I can if I get to 185. But it's my plan. Jenny Craig didn't give it to me. Weight Watchers didn't give it to me. It's my plan. It's my plan that I got from the Holy Spirit because I partnered with Him and I started being honest with Him.
You
can't pray an honest prayer while you're taking in too many calories. I love you, and I don't want you to die of a heart attack, so I'm going to preach it anyway. Two people that exercise in the world. Ones that want to avoid a heart attack, and the ones that survive the heart attack. So I'm just saying, whatever your area is, you've got to be honest. Listen, if you've been obese for years, you're not struggling with your weight. You're defeated in your weight. That's hard. That's hard for me to say, because I know, because I struggled for years. I know I was defeated for years. And now I just struggle, because most of the time I'm on my weight. But you can't get there if you don't be honest. Listen, if you've been in a broken relationship, if you've blown your temper for years, you're not struggling with a temper. You are defeated with a temper. If you've got a smart mouth for years, you are not struggling with a smart mouth. You got a smart mouth. The truth shall set you free. You've got to get honest with God, or you won't get what you're looking for. The truth shall set you free. Free. You just got to carve out time to discipline yourself, to do whatever it is you need to do to be transformed. And this is the last time I'll mention finances and wait for a while. Everybody say, hallelujah! But I hope you talk to the Holy Spirit. I hope you talk to Him, and I hope you get involved with Him, and I hope you say something like this. Holy Spirit, I have a problem in this area. I raised my hand Easter, or I'm raising my hand today. I need light in this. I am not living in abundant life. And Jesus said this, folks. He said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. We should have peace and abundance in every area of our lives. And if we're not experiencing that, there's some dishonest conversations going on. Or this is not what it says it is. I told you a couple weeks ago, if you're struggling with finances, open your savings account. Put something in it and leave it there. Get up in the morning and confess, this is my seed. I'll not eat my seed, because if I eat my seed, I'll starve to death. You plant seed, you don't eat seed, and you watch it grow. Or, you know, I've blown my top for years. I've been defeated. I've had an attitude for years. I've been defeated in the name of Jesus. I confess that. I'm going to stop lying. It's not my genes. It's in my heart. And it's coming out of my mouth. I mean, those temper tantrums is not in your genes. It's in your heart. And it's coming out your mouth. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Quit saying, she made me, got me mad. She made me say. She didn't say, your heart made you say. Well, it's my kids. They get on my nerves. Well, whip them. Spare the rod. Spoil the child. And now comes the griping. Because you're not doing what God told you to do. Well, I do whip them. Don't do any good. Get a bigger stick. Now, we live in an age where you have to be careful because there's child abuse. I'm not saying abuse your children. I'm saying discipline your children. I heard a guy say one time, when do you know when to stop whipping them? When they stop doing what you told them to, not to do. Well, my child just don't, you know, well. Then talk to God about His Word. Hello? I better close. I think I'm running out of grace. I preached that. Listen, here's your gauge, and I'll close with this. Here's your gauge. Galatians 5:22-24. Here's your gauge. Now, if you want to get honest with God, whatever you do, this will make it measurable. Whatever you do, this will make it measurable. Everything where you're wanting transformation, you go to this passage and you measure it, okay? This will say this is measurable. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. See, that means I have partnered with the Spirit because this is the fruit that's coming out. The fruit of the Spirit. Are you with me? The fruit of an apple tree is what? Apples. Fruit of an orange tree? Fruit of a banana tree? So how do you know? Because that's what they produce, right? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit, if the Spirit's working in your life, in this area that you're struggling with, but are defeated in, and you want to grow and bring light and peace, here's the fruit. Here's the evidence. You ask yourself, you go to this verse, or verses of Scripture, and you say, is there love in this area? Is there joy in this area? Is there peace in this area? Is there long-suffering? Is there gentleness in this area? Is there goodness in this area? Is there faith? Is there meekness and temperance? Is there self-control in this area? Self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not a power of your will. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit. That is the Spirit is in control because now it's coming out of you. Self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit is self. See the partnering in that? It's not just the old Holy Spirit, do this, you know. It's us. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, moderation, temperance, however you want to put it. These are all measurable, aren't they? How many knows when you're blowing your top, there's not much love, there's not much joy, that's very evident. Now watch this, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with two things, affections and lust. Almost any problem you're going to face is going to have those things attached to it. Affection and lust. If I'm mad at you and won't forgive you, I'm lusting over what I want. Yeah, but You just make me mad. Well, that's, you want to keep what you have more than you want what God's offering, which is freedom and joy and peace. You can keep it if you want. I'm just saying you don't have to anymore. Isn't that good news? That's good news, isn't it? You want, got somebody you want to forgive? Deal with your affections and lust. You can. You got some weight you want to lose? Deal with your affections and your lust. You can. You got some, you want to have more finances? Deal with your affections and lust, and you can. You want, whatever area you want a relationship restored, deal with your affections and lust. Put them under and watch God work. Watch God work. This is your measurable tool. Pray this with me and we'll close. I'm tired of defeat. You don't sound like it. I'm tired of defeat. And I have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. I've been redeemed by the blood. I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ. I will not whine, blame, or make excuses anymore of why I cannot love, have joy, have peace in every area of my life by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. I will discipline my mind, my heart, my body, and live in victory from this day forward. Amen. You believe that? Somebody sent me an email that said this: don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big your God is. Woo! I like that, don't you? Don't tell God how big your storm is. You go tell your storm how big your God is. Wow. Wow. How big is your God? He's bigger than that darkness and that struggle you've been going through. If you'll just get honest with God, lay it down. Heavenly Father, thank you for setting us free and liberating us today. I just sense, Lord, that there's people in here that have such a heart and they want to discipline themselves. They want to get honest today and lay down all their excuses and their victim mentalities and blame and coming clean today and saying, Lord, I get honest with you today and I want to claim victory in this area. I've been defeated, but no more. By Jesus' help. And God, I will start a discipline and a process. I will partner with the Holy Spirit. And you, Holy Spirit, will bring all things from my remembrance. You will teach me. You will empower me. And by your grace and by your help, I will do the things necessary to bring about the results that I'm looking for. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for freedom today. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us and setting us free in areas that we've been defeated in for a long time. Thank you for transforming power. I speak it over this body today. We are conquerors through Jesus Christ in all areas of our life, because He'll give us power and instruction and information so we can do all things. And we thank you and we give you praise and glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I talked with my youth pastors the other day and how we can make services better. And this is what I want to start doing every service. Because I never know, and you never know, who's here that just don't know.